Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here, your Bible teacher today at the cafe, KJV Cafe. What a beautiful day to be at the cafe. Sunny outside, gorgeous outside. It's nice inside too. Amen. Kids are at the in-laws. It's kind of whisper quiet here. Got a piping hot cup of coffee from Earth Fair. It was called Mountain Decaf, I believe. And don't think I only drink decaf. I drink 90% decaf now, but I'll take a small cup of regular if you got it. But stuff smells good. I've never had that kind of coffee from there, but it's looking good. As soon as it cools off, I'll let you know how it is. But man, it's just a great day to be here. And the greatest part of today is diving in to study God's Word. I've been looking forward to spending some time on the end of Genesis 8. This is a very important part of Genesis 8. This is when Noah builds an altar, and this is where we see the first example of a burnt offering in Scripture. Now, there is an implied burnt offering with Cain and Abel, which we'll get to, but the first example of, like, flat out, you know, we know that they're burning the animal type of thing. So we're going to dive deep into what that means and, of course, the symbolism behind it. But what we'll do is we'll take a break, and then I'm going to read Genesis 8, 20 through 22, and that'll be our text verse for the next few episodes as we study this scripture, so stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. All right, back here at it, and I'm going to read the scripture here, Genesis 8, 20 through 22. This is, by the way, after 22, the chapter ends. So this is the end of Genesis 8. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not curse again the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Amen. This is a really beautiful passage of scripture for so many reasons. I mean, like, honestly, you could unpack this over months. I really believe that, these three verses. And we see here in Genesis 8:20, okay, they had just come off the ark previously in verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 of Genesis 8 tells us that Noah went forth and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. And verse 19 says, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. We've spoke about the kinds, the idea that the kind is a little bit more than a species. A species is something very specific. That makes sense. But a kind is like a little bit broader, you know, and the example we've talked about here is like dogs, right? You have a lot of different breeds of dogs, but those breeds of dogs would all be in the dog kind. Even if you lump in things like wolves, that would still be in the dog kind. And so you only had to have two of every kind of animal on that ship. And again, the animal specifically, probably we think were the ones that were breathing. I say probably because you may have some organisms on there, but generally the ones that were breathing. They had the breath of life, the Bible says. That's what came on the ark. And can you imagine Noah building an altar and of every kind doing a sacrifice? That's incredible. I mean, we think there was roughly 7,000 animals on the ark, give or take. And that would be factoring in either 7 of every kind or 14 of every kind, depending on how you parse up Genesis 7. But either way, thousands of animals being burnt at the altar, all as a pleasing smell to God, a pleasing sweet savor to God, in warming the Lord's heart, literally, in praising God for saving Noah and his family and really, I mean, truly humanity and all living, breathing life on earth. That's what God did here. So it's just a profound instance. I don't know if God's got like a playback machine in heaven, but this would be a scene I definitely would want to watch probably multiple times. There's many. Of course, David, you know, against Goliath would be a good one to watch. I mean, all of it really gets my blood pumping in the Bible. Honestly, everything I get excited about, but that would be one. The flood, just being curious how quick it emerged, you know, would be another. But certainly seeing this picture, this massive Thanksgiving, and you know there's only eight coming off the ark, and you know that these animals for sacrifice would need to be prepared. So you're looking at like, I don't know, I mean, months of sacrifice, years, plural, I don't know, but it's just absolutely awesome. Amen. Absolutely awesome to see, to read about and to imagine, and maybe one day the Lord will allow us to see it or some kind of give us some kind of look at it. Amen. I know God is able to do that. And so as we get into the scripture, we're going to focus really verse by verse here. And we're going to start at verse 20, okay? And so verse 20 of Genesis 8 says, "And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord." Okay, so the first thing we see after Noah and his family gets off the ark and all the animals get off the ark, what do we see next? Immediately, Noah builds an altar unto the Lord, okay? So we see the timing. This was the first thing Noah does after exiting the ark. God is priority number one to Noah, right? This is made clear in the scriptures. Now you're saying, Brother Clark, did he go and explore a little bit? Did he go and try to, you know, figure out what's, you know, where his shelter is going to be, or if he's going to be going in and out of the ark and so forth? I don't know, because the scripture doesn't tell us. But what the scripture does tell us, directly after they got off, there is this altar being built, okay? And did Noah know about this plan prior to getting on the ark? I would say that yes, he did, right? Because he was to take these clean beasts and these unclean beasts. And the clean ones he was taking a lot of, and the unclean ones he was taking a little of. And we're going to get to that verse in a minute in Genesis 7. But Noah knew. So Noah literally had a year to think about this, to plan this, to have this on his mind. And then once this time came, it didn't say that Noah struggled to build an altar. It didn't say that Noah wandered around hundreds of years and then built an altar. It didn't say that Noah fought with everybody and then did an altar. No, this is the first thing that's happening. And so for us, the application could be, is God first in our life? Are we ready to build that altar for the Lord? Are we ready to do what God wants us to do in his timing? Because remember, the top came off of the ark and there was still time they were spending in the ark. There's time that they're verifying the ground is dry. They're listening to God. Noah is listening to God. And then the Lord tells them, okay, now it's time. And so once it was time, it begun, it started, it commenced, it began this idea of thankfulness to God shown through this burnt offering. Now, every clean beast and fowl or bird are offered according to God's plan. And what is God's plan? We see in Genesis 7:2, just the previous chapter, "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." So we see that we just need two of these unclean beasts because they're not the ones that are going to be sacrificed. Remember, God doesn't want our leftovers. God doesn't want the dirty, bad things. And there's a great chapter in the Old Testament, I'll have to look it up, about how God's saying, would you give like your boss or the governor or someone, would you give them like this pitiful, dirty, broken offering, the worst of your flock? Is that something you would give someone you love? You know, why are you giving it to me? And so they, you know, we see the Israelites later on are chastised by God for that, for giving a bad offering. Matter of fact, Cain's offering was unacceptable. We saw that earlier. But we see here that every clean beast is brought by sevens, okay? The male and the female. And seven is an interesting number. Obviously, God's perfect number of completion. We see in verse 3 of Genesis 7, "Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth." Now, if you read Genesis 7, it's a little confusing as to whether, if you get into all the verbiage, as to whether God is asking Noah to bring 7 or 7 and 7, depending on the translation and so forth. People aren't fully sure. But either way, we'll just take the number 7. Let's say that Noah just brought 7 clean beasts on there, okay? Because most people believe, most commentators, or from my research that I read, it was either they brought 7 of the clean beasts or 14. But let's say 7. If you were to sacrifice one of those clean beasts, as we see here in Genesis 8:20, part of our text passage here, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So if we took of every clean beast, if you had 7 and you take 1, that leaves you with 6, which, by the way, is the number of man, but also that's an even number. So if you were thinking of pairs to mate, you would have 2 and 2 and 2. And so you would have enough male and female for 3 couples left after the sacrifice. Point I'm making here, Noah was well aware of God's plan. Noah was spot on the timing. And we have this offering of the clean beasts and the birds right there as they exit the ark. Now, offering is a big deal in the Bible. That's why I was so excited to spend time in this chapter. And again, that's why we're going to have to dedicate several episodes to this little passage here. There's many different search tools you can use to look up phrases in the Bible, and I encourage you to use them. I will start by searching on Google. I'll search KJV Bible search, and then you'll have 2 or 3 tools come up. One of them that I like to use is by the University of Michigan. Now, what's interesting is these different tools will give you different results, because some of them will include extra books like the Apocrypha. Some of them will include like variations of a word, and some of them won't. So I never take them as like 100% accurate, but they're a good indication of how much a word is in the Bible. And the word offering is in the Bible 1,029 times, according to this University of Michigan King James Bible search. So over 1,000 instances, because again, some of the other Bible searches may give you a different number, but offering, you know, a word to be in the Bible that much is massive. And the word offering is very important to God. And that's the point I'm driving home here, is that God is very serious. He is holy, and he has an offering that he expects in relation to what? Why was Noah on the ark in the first place? Sin, right? Sin had run so rampant in society that just Noah and his family were the only ones found righteous on all the earth. Amen. Sin had become so profound that God had to literally press the reset button on his entire creation. And that was because of sin. And that's not conjecture. That's not an idea. Okay. Man had sin in his heart continuously, right? Evil was all on his mind. Amen. There was nothing but evil going on. That's why the earth had to be wiped out. If you look at Genesis 6, verses 12 through 14, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What does that word corrupt mean? It means broken, right? If your computer is corrupted, something has gone very wrong. When man was corrupt, they were unjust, broken, unholy, living as God would not have them to live. And look what God says in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. On and on. So the instructions came from God to Noah. Why? Because of this sin. And so we see the altar being built as a offering that's going to be made of every clean beast, thousands of animals, it's a offering for the forgiveness of the sin of mankind. Amen. The offering is not just something to do. It's not just a way for the animals to be used. It is a specific instance that God has commanded his people to show towards him so that he can offer forgiveness to them. It is like a process. And in the New Testament, that offering, of course, is Christ, which we'll talk about in future episodes. But for now, just be thinking of the offering. Tomorrow, we're going to dive deep into burnt offerings in the Bible, offerings in general. We'll learn a lot in this few episodes here, so I'd love it if you stay tuned. I thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.